Okay, I think I'm ready. Mic close to my mouth. Okay, good. Turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. The good shepherd. I'll just read maybe five verses here. Jesus said to the Pharisees, and this is out of the Passion Translation, "Listen to this eternal truth. The person who sneaks over the wall to enter into the sheep pen rather than coming through the gate reveals himself as a thief coming to steal, but the true shepherd walks right up to the gate, and because the gatekeeper knows who he is, he opens the gate to him to let him in. And the sheep recognize the voice of the true shepherd, for he calls his own by name and leads them out, for they belong to him. And when he has brought out all of his sheep, he walks ahead of them, and they will follow him, for they are familiar with his voice, but they will run away from strangers and never follow them because they know it's the voice of a stranger." I was reading my latest awesome book that I found called Throne Room Prayers by Brian and Candace Simmons. It's awesome. I've had it for several weeks. I'm all the way up to page 30 because it's just so good. It's just really ministering to me. And I was reading the other morning, and very slowly on purpose, and he begins to talk, and of course, the whole book is about prayer. And he makes this statement: intimacy does not exist when our relationship is built on one-way speeches. Isn't that true? Isn't it hard to have any kind of relationship with someone if one person in the relationship does all the talking? You can listen for a while, pretty soon you're like, if you're the listener, you're wore out. And so you never can get really close. Like a good relationship, a good healthy relationship is one where there's two-way conversation. And he was talking about prayer, and he makes this statement, and I'm like, oh my gosh, so, so good. Two-way prayer. Both people listen, and both people talk. And the reason it stopped me, because I realized that even though, I don't know, you all pray, and you know, and yet you may still have some strongholds of belief about it and think that immediately go here if you're going to pray about something that you should start talking, right? I mean, if you're not talking, is it prayer? And if you don't have things to say, is it prayer? And one person's prayers, and we're always focused on this part of us talking. And what if that picture is faulty? In this point that true prayer is as much listening as it is talking. That perhaps would change some things for you. What if your prayer time was, first thing you do is sit down and be quiet? For men, we're good at that. The women that are headed for 20,000 words in one day, they got to get started. So, you know, they're off. Off and running. Got to get my 20,000 in. As I pray to God, I'm fully aware that both of us will speak and both of us will listen. As you practice two-way prayer, listening carefully and humbly, you'll hear him speak, and this prophetic interchange is not just limited to verbal communication. You can also expect to encounter him in various other ways. However you hear him, this divine encounter will always do two things. It will change you, and it will give you ammunition for spiritual warfare. As you enter into prayer, the Father will not only speak to you, but he will also pray through you. You'll become one who hears from God in the secret place during your personal alone time with heaven. Now, that simple little paragraph can be very intimidating if you're a person that struggles hearing or think that you hear from the Lord. It can't be that prayer can only be left to very prophetic people, right? I mean, aren't they pathetic? Because they're always telling you, I heard God say this and God that and da-da-da, and you're pretty sure you're like, all right, already. I get quiet before the Lord and, silence. And so I want to help break that simple thing. It is. It's just a simple thing, but it's a big thing. Because the prayer necessitates a two-way conversation, and boy, I don't care how old you are in the Lord, you start to get frustrated if you can't tell what the Lord's leading you, if you're praying prayers and you're not getting answers, you're not getting direction. And some of the most intense times in our life, and I've heard many leaders say this, it's the time that you cannot hear anything. Like heaven seems to be not connect on the line. Hello? Anybody there? And you're like, this is really important, God. Then you start threatening, you throw yourself on the floor. I mean, we do things. Never. Yeah, we do. We'll protest, we'll, go on a campaign of, I'm mad at God, he's not talking to me. I don't know, we just do all kinds of things. We can act very childish as adults. But it is a genuine frustration. And so, I love this passage. I keep going back to it. I glean off of it. And it's Isaiah chapter 50. And I want to read out of, I brought my whole arsenal here, half my studies here on it. Again, out of the Passion Translation, but you can turn there and look, Isaiah 50. And in verse 4 and 5, the Lord Yahweh has equipped me with the anointed, skillful tongue of a teacher. Speak. To know how to speak a timely word to the weary. Like, this is really phenomenal. That's a great thing to pray. Pray to ask the Lord for. Give me a timely word for the weary. There's nothing that feels better than having a timely word for someone that's exasperated, someone that's struggling, someone that's lost, someone that's doesn't have direction. To be the person, I mean, this is really good stuff, to be the person that brings a word that sustains them in their difficulty, in their journey. You watch people, I mean, this is a real tangible thing. Their countenance will change. You speak something, you're like, man, I love it. I love being that person. I hate being the person that's like, you speak something, share something from your heart, of course, and just, didn't hit the mark. You're like, that hit the floor. You ought to have to preach and have that happen. It's terrible. But we love to be like, it's a great thing, and it's really precious, because this is eternal stuff when we do that, when we have a word. But where does that has to come from? A reservoir. It comes out of this two-way prayer, this concept of not just talking to God, I'll pray for you. How about if we said this to people? Might even be more powerful. I'm going to wait on the Lord for you. I'm going to sit and wait on the Lord. I'm going to just bring up your name and sit and be quiet and wait till he shares something with me. Oh. See how we just don't think on those terms. We're always like, I'm going to go do a lot of talking to God for you. But what a different thing. And this one that has a word to sustain the one in the weary, that's the weary, they've gotten that word from somewhere. You all have gotten, when you have that, when you get to be used from that, that comes out of the reservoir. You know it does.
It comes out of your relationship with the Lord. It comes from the depths of your if you've tapped, and many of you have, you've tapped into intimacy with the Lord. But I refuse to let any of you sitting there say it. It's the voice in your mind, I can't do that. I can't hear. I can't sit myself down. I can't get myself quiet enough to hear anything. We have all kinds of things like, I can't. Whatever your excuse is, chuck it. Like, have you ever had anybody that finally confronts you and you give your lame excuses for things? They're like, whatever. Like, people close, your wife will do that. Like, yeah, honestly, sure. Mm-hmm. You can't do this, but you can do that, you know. And then this phrase, morning by morning, he awakens my heart. He opens my ears to hear his voice, to be trained to teach. So the reservoir of having a word comes from being able to hear. And this is a big deal. And we need to stop and pay attention to it and stop thinking we can't. And we're on the run and we're moving and we're going and we're whatever, like, there's no excuses. I'm taking all of your excuses out. None. You had a whole bag full, and I just stole them all. There's no excuse for not hearing. I mean, even an unbeliever can hear the voice of the Lord because the Lord's talking to them. They're the orphans on the street. You still get talked to. How do you think you got here? You think you figured it out on your own? Didn't. He opens the Isaiah. He opens my ears to hear his voice, to be trained to teach. And it goes on in the next verse, the Lord Yahweh has opened my ear, and I did not resist, and I did not rebel. That's kind of important. To develop this willingness in your heart, and you have to work on it because we're all stubborn, right? Especially when no one else knows what the Lord just told you to do, and you can hide it. Like, he told you to go, but you're like, uh-uh, I'm not going. He told you to call. You're like, no, I'm not going to call. I don't want to hear it. Tells you to forgive. You're like, no way, I'm not giving that up. I'm hanging on to that unforgiveness. Got it right here. I carry it all the time. What is it with us? You know, it's just baggage. But oh, Lord, do we keep hold on to things for whatever reason? We have to develop hearing. We have to choose this. We have to, I just want to shake you for a moment. Like, you've got to develop listening. You have nothing if you don't listen. And you can listen. You can hear. You can change this up. And this is the essence of being a disciple. And this is what we want to advocate, like, in a whole new way here at our church. It's not good enough that you're just a convert, that you've got the t-shirt. That doesn't get it. I've been baptized. I've been filled with the Holy Spirit. Good. Are you filled now? That's the question. Are you still filled, or do you leak so bad that, you know, what happened yesterday is gone? Is there a changed life? I love baptism. I love this point about baptism. You know why? Because there's no, once you get your clothes changed and get dried off, no one can tell by looking at you. All that's left is a changed, hopefully, this is the goal, that you're a different person, right? How interesting. Jesus did not say, put a red dot on your head. He did not say, cut half of your ear off now that you're a disciple. He did not say, even dress a certain way other than modestly, you know. No actual rules, hair short, hair long, you know. All the things that we tend to do, collars up, collars down, ties on, ties off. I mean, where I came from, if you didn't have a tie on, you couldn't get up front. Where did that come from? Oh, yeah, it's not in here. baptism, you're like, it's a prophetic act that you're buried with Christ. You rise up, you dry off, you change your clothes. What should be left? A changed life, a changed character. Not necessarily the clothes, not necessarily the haircut, not necessarily any other marks on your body, no not the tattoos, good, bad, or indifferent, not the t-shirt, but a changed life. A changed life. I want to develop being able to hear, and we can hear, and a disciple, like, don't tell me you can't, because you all do this. Anything that you decide to do, if you're going to Erica training for these Olympic things, like, she's a disciple, someone there, she's always under mentoring and teachers and having people help her, right, Erica? I mean, there are always coaches, maybe Danny. And what's the value of that? You may think you're doing great. We do it on the worship team all the time. We check with each other. How did that sound? Because I thought it was great, but it might not have been. Maybe I'm just in love with myself. Somebody last night, I led worship up at Atwell. They come up and said, hey, do you know your voice sounds like Willie Nelson? Thanks. They meant it as a compliment. Well, I'm not necessarily fond of country music, even though we pulled this last one out of the hat because Kurt's like, hey, you got to hear this song. Like, that was very unusual for me. Willie Nelson. I'm like, I said, I know I can sound that way. I mean, whatever. A disciple, when they find someone that's worthy of following, they listen, they watch how they act, they watch what they do, they listen to the words. And pretty soon, they're able to teach themselves because they've subjected themselves to learning and to listening. Have to listen. And you have to emulate that person. We follow Jesus. And even the Apostle Paul warned about following teachers. And you know, we can even get into that. We're like, we can start identifying ourselves by what teachers are you listening to? And I think it's wonderful. It's good to listen and to get equipped and receive from different people. But we do have to watch over this thing that doesn't become a bigger thing than just following Jesus and reading our Bibles. So how do you hear? And I've shared my recent, my latest salvation experience, hey, I think I just got saved again. I wasn't even backslidden, but I entered into a new level of following, of knowing Jesus, like going after him. And it changed my paradigm. Like, wow, it changed even how I read. And I'm sitting and I'm waiting, and this is just like something that's just developing, and I'm like, I need to get acquainted. I need to take a fresh look at Jesus. I know all these scriptures. I know I've read them. But I needed to look. I knew the hot spots. I knew the highlights. I knew the place to go to really get into his life, to understand, to appreciate who he was. Read it again for the first time, And one of the things I knew I was to read was to get back to John 17. What is John 17? It's his prayer. It's this really amazing prayer, but I'm reading it to know him more. It changes the whole reason. So how do you hear from the Lord? One of the ways that you hear is by reading, but read to hear. Don't read to get smarter. Don't read to argue with somebody. Don't read because you're on your latest campaign of proving some point. And that kind of was the old paradigm. It's really easy to fall into that. Now we belong to this church. Here's what we believe about this. Here's what we believe about that. Here's what we believe about this. Here's why we do this. Here's why we don't do that. Da, 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 da. And that's fine. It's appropriate for all of those things. However, find Jesus in it. It changes everything. And read the words and go, I want to know you. I want to see your heart. There's no way I can emulate you, I can walk after you if I don't know you and I don't hear from you. I won't have a word to sustain the weary if I haven't heard a word. I won't know if I don't hear. If I don't make sure that this is really major priority for me. Don't turn to these. I'm just going to touch on them quick. John 7:16, I speak truth revealed by my Father, Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, keeps making this big point. I only do what I see the Father doing. I receive from the Father. I hear his words. There's this amazing relationship. 8:28, I have not come to my own on my own initiative. The Father sent me. It's one of the biggest things we got to get over. Even after we become believers, we're still running our own deal. What's your agenda? Anybody have an agenda? It shows up in our language. We start trying to sell something to the wife. I don't recommend it. Or your kids. You're running. You're playing. You're doing the pitch, trying to convince somebody of something. It's not relational. Hear him, find him, follow him, have this agenda. I only do what I see the Father doing. John 12:49, Father sent me and instructed me. Is your life full of Jesus' instructions? Lay down your trying to get away with everything you can. Stop it. And just throw yourself at Jesus' feet and say, I need to know you. What's your attitude? That's the one I want. What do you say about this? And what we don't understand, stop trying to be Einstein. Leave some mysteries. It's okay. Because the Spirit of revelation will come and give you all truth. 1 John assures us of that. 14:10, my words come from the Father. He lives in me, performing through me. Not my own, in verse 24, not my own revelation, but the Father's. 17:8, the very words you gave me to speak, I speak. That was his prayer, John 17. The words gave me to speak, that's what I speak, that's what I talk. Think about how much you are full of your own words as a Christian. Actually, I hope you just get thrown back to realize you're full of your own opinions and your agenda, and then you call that Christian. And people come to you and start giving counsel out of that, what you think. Be careful. Be careful. You may be totally impressed with what you think somebody should do. I'm working at this all the time. Shut up, Rick. Don't answer that question, as tempting as it is. First of all, people need to hear from the Lord about something. They really do. And if I have there's a difference when I have something from the Lord and I have a word that's just, then yeah, give that. But boy, I can be full of it. I'm just feeling good and I'm comfortable telling you what I think about that and this and that and da-da-da, and off I go. And it's like, the Holy Spirit, I know sometimes he's going, would you be quiet? You just ruined everything. Just hold off. Don't answer that question for them. They need to look for that. They need to wait on the Lord. They don't need to wait on, and you're probably going to, you're giving them the wrong answer. That's not where I want them to go. Could we all just humble ourselves and say, I am not Jesus? Just go for it. Just say it. It'll make you feel better. I'm not Jesus. I'm not. But I am a disciple. I am a follower. I do want to watch him in every situation and know how he does things so that I can emulate that. It's a whole different thing. There's no end of scriptures that are just full of this. excuse me. Full of listening. Hearing from the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 6:4, you can turn or not turn, just this one phrase, hear, O Israel. The Lord saying, hear this. Here it is, this profound, hear, O Israel. You know what God says? Love me with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Then that shows up again in the New Testament, doesn't it? Two commandments. We've got it reduced down to two. How many commandments and laws did the Hebrews try to live out of? 600 or something like that? Down to two. I can do two. Number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. Number two is like the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. That will right away fix most of the problems in our culture. Bam. It's like magic. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. We heard more. Christopher Milo went to this week. He was just someplace where it was more of a penitentiary than it was a school for kids that were really bad. And the kids were just full of, like, they didn't react well to him and his hairdo. And they weren't bashful about letting him know that he can take his effing hair and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And then, and he's there, and he just holds his ground. He keeps on bringing the love, man. He just hangs right in there. He doesn't shrink back. They have, you know, not hall monitors, but police officers in their hallway, so this is a serious place. And one of the officers started talking to him the same way. I mean, ripped him up one side, down the other, F this, F that, blah, 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 blah. I have to just say it. Christopher Milo is like Jesus with a mohawk. He is, honestly, he takes love to the level that we should all take it to. And just kept right on this guy and melted him right down. Broke through that. It brought the love and he got in. I'm like, you're amazing. We've given up on this working. We're back to being defensive. Packing, carrying, getting over defenses, ready to sue somebody, you know. There's a better way. There's a better way. And we'll only grasp that if we become true followers, truly followers. So I'm writing down some notes as I'm reading John 17 and just kind of my takeaway from it one morning. And I'm listening to Jesus' prayer. I'm listening to the prayer because I'm listening. I'm looking for who he really is. And he begins to define eternal life. And for some reason, that captured my attention. Like, eternal life is this. It's to know and experience you, Lord, the Father, as the true and living God. And to know and experience Jesus as the Son whom you have sent. So it's not just about being a convert and praying the prayer and getting the t-shirt. I know I keep emphasizing that, but it's a changed life. Like, it's more than that. It's this following. It's this throw all in. That other thing is not. It's not changing the culture. We're just building organizations based on that, but they're not changed lives. I don't want to see how big a church is. I want to see the fruit of the church when they're out on the street, when they leave Sunday morning. That's the true test. Success isn't numbers and all the things we keep attributing to, and people, amounts of people, and money. It's are you fruitful? Is there fruit in your life? Are you bearing fruit? That's the measure of heaven. Like, here, raise your arms. Let me see if there are any apples and oranges under there. Are you growing fruit? The fruit on your tree? Or are you just a lot of bling? Where's the fruit? Where's the fruit when the pressure's on? Where's the fruit? Where's the patience? Where's the love? Where's the kindness? Where's the long-suffering? Where's the perseverance? Where's the enduring? And Jesus glorified you faithfully by doing everything the Father told him. So this is how we glorify God, by doing. And we listen. We listen and we perceive what we should do. And we do that with faith, not for people, with faith that it pleases the Father, and it does please him. And I just was, I think I was sharing with Kevin, and Kevin's been so amazing. He's not here, so I can talk about him, but I'm just so proud of him for what he's gotten into and what he's doing, and he's so connected with his feelings. I wish I was that connected. I can get kind of hard and rough, but he crashes because after, like, I'm impressed with what he's done. He's like, it wasn't enough, or this and that, you know, down the road. He goes, we're having this conversation. He says, this didn't happen and that didn't happen. And I said, Kevin, it's not measured by that. It's measured by your obedience. It's measured by what you chose to do. You're immediately a success. Like, we know, as we follow Erica, and things happen in these intense competitions. And Lord Jesus, like, talk about the pressure. I get stressed out leading worship sometimes. Like, to be in that place and all these people watching, and you're trying so hard, and something doesn't turn out the way you want. And it's so hard to not crash over that. Like, you work and you were to contest. Sometimes I think it's why a lot of us check out. We go, I'm not going to try because I tried once and it went badly. And I hated that feeling so bad, I'm just going to kick back and live life about half-hearted. Repent from that. Repent from that. The greatest value you have, and the greatest beauty that you could ever enter into, is you living your life with passion. I don't care what you're doing. I think I related, was it last week, my confessions? I was, you know, a tuba player in the band. But whatever I did it with all of my heart. And I became the band president, and I won the John Philip Sousa Award, the Marine Corps Band Award. I didn't even have those. I didn't even know they could be won. That's how out of it I was. But I would spend all my lunchtime. I wasn't even great at reading music. I would go and memorize my music at lunch. After I ate, I'd go to the band room every day. Go to the band room, play my tuba, and learn my parts by memory. And pretty soon, I was first chair, and boom, 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 and band president, and all these things. Why? Because I was all in. I got out on the field, and the tuba was bigger than me, but I went at it with all my heart. A life of passion. What do I love when I see worship on YouTube? What attracts me? That's why I love Bethel Music. The passion. They're not just singing the songs. They sing with all of their hearts. They're passionate about it. And the world will be attracted to us, and we want this. We want to be attractive. Live your life with passion and you will be attractive for Jesus' sake. Go at it. Go at it with all of your heart. Be intentional. Be passionate. There's a lot here to be engaged in. And when we're half-hearted, no wonder we're depressed. We're not engaged. Like, you've got to go for it. You've got to do it with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your mind. Love him. And go after being like him, emulating him. Jesus had this amazing relationship with his Father. That wasn't a given. I'm reading in John 17. I'm going to wrap up here. And all of a sudden, this shows up, and he starts talking to the Father about the relationship they had before he came to the earth. Did you ever stop and go, hold on? How did he even know about that? Honestly, we know the story. Jesus was born as a 12-year-old. 16-year-old, 21-year-old, 30-year-old, ready to go. Boom, he just appeared one day. No, he was born as a messy, dirty baby in a manger. Wasn't even sterile environment. Right? That's the story. At one point, does he have this consciousness of who he is? I don't know. When did he get that? When did he really realize, oh my gosh, I'm the Son of God? I mean, one day as he looked, tap his mom on the shoulder, he's like, hey, you know, like, I know who I am. Who told you? You know, I don't know. What do you do? Was it one day while she's changing his diaper, he starts talking to her like Balaam's donkey talked to him? I mean, we were just reading that last night. Was it Jamie referring to that? Was that why we were there? Yeah. He has this longing to be restored to this intimate relationship that he had with the Father before he became a man. It's right there in John 17. I went, when did he realize that? How did he know? He knew out of having an intimate relationship, that I know is the right answer. The rest of it, I don't know, but he got it. He knew this. As he was getting to this point of praying this prayer, he pretty much was saying, I can't wait till I can get back with you, Father. That was the best life I lived. And here we are on the planet, all consumed with stuff that's going to go away, to say the least. Here's Jesus, supernaturally able to have anything on the planet he wanted, in any position on the planet he wanted. He could have done that, but he's like, what I really want is to get back with Jesus. Father. Jesus, get back to the Father. I saw Kevin walk in. I was like, I was just talking about you, Kevin. So if your ear was itching, that was why it was. All good. Set your heart at being a disciple. Listen for his voice. Read until you find him. It's a whole nother reason for reading the word. Like, it's there, and then I believe with all my heart we can experience him in a lot of different ways. We can hear his voice. We need to position ourselves and pray our hearts out to hear and know him, because he wants this more than we want this. He wants to be close to us, and you can avoid these times when you can't hear. Every person that has any history with God goes through these seasons where I can't hear, I can't see, I'm blind right now. But I'm not quitting and I'm not leaving, so I'm going to keep walking till I can see again, till I can hear again. Those seasons are miserable. I wish we could avoid them. But they seem to build so much character in us. It's in those seasons that we're just so like, God, this is so like whatever. And we wait and we seek him with all of our hearts. And I've always had a breakthrough. In due time, bang, the lights come on. Bang, the voice, I hear again. Bang, I see again. It opens up a season and I'm like, oh yeah, babe, now I'm seeing it. This really helps when you're a leader. Like, it's nice to know where you're going. And we all have those pressures. So like, man, if I ever needed to know what God's saying, I need it right now. I need the answer right now. I need this help right now. So let's pray. Father, I just want to commit this to you. Isaiah 50, I want to be able to speak like the Savior and have words of life on my lips. Stir us up with just the beauty of that and the power of that, of being a people that walk around with life on their lips. This is the goal of being a disciple. Life on their lips, life on our lips. We see something bad and we redeem it because we have the words to redeem it. Because we've said and we've listened and we've heard from our teacher. We give ourselves, we've developed our ears to be able to hear and to perceive what you're saying and what you're doing. So I ask for a supernatural ability, Father. Help us break out of this that we can hear. Jesus, that we can hear your words. That as we open and read until we can hear, till we find your words, till we find what you're speaking, and the living word, the thing that jumps off at us. And Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for that. Thank you for everyone here. Father, I ask that you would just thank you for the meeting we've had today, the touches, the prayers, everything that we've given, everything that we've that's happened as we came together as a body. It was supernatural. And I know there's power in it. There was life in it today. Thank you for being in our midst. And today as we go, let us go as one sent, not as ones wandering. Let us be sent by you. Let us go with destiny and purpose to walk with you, to walk after you, to have ears to hear, to have a mouth to speak, and a life that follows both of those things. I thank you for in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless everybody.